We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast that dives into social relationships and why the investment you put into them is so important. Your host, Lori Hybu, will connect with industry-leading professionals and dive into their networking experiences and expert advice.
Hey, everybody. Lori Hybu here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybu and on Facebook. This week's guest is Paul Neuberger. Paul believes in making the impossible possible. A masterful speaker and trainer, he challenges people to dig deep and discover talents they never knew they had. Whether it's working hands-on with small teams or presenting in front of hundreds of people, Paul is adept at truly connecting with his audience and getting to the heart of important issues. He has worked with leading organizations around the world to help improve effectiveness, performance, and cultivate a stronger sense of passion in the workplace. A sales expert, Paul is known to many organizations as the cold call coach. He has taught thousands of students in more than 100 countries through his Cold Call University program, helping sales professionals in a range of industries close more business in less time than ever before. Paul serves as president of the Star Group, a trusted leader in the insurance field, and is one of the largest family-owned independent insurance agencies in Wisconsin. He is also the chairman of the 2019 American Heart Association Milwaukee Heart Walk. Lastly, Paul is the founder of C-Suite for Christ, a group of business executives who share stories of how including Christ in our daily lives has positively affected our work environment. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Boy, by reading that, Lori, I don't think I have enough to do.
I don't know how you do all these things, really.
Too much time on my hands, it sounds like.
And you shared with me you've got three little ones running around, too?
I do. Yes. Two six-year-old boy, five-year-old boy, and two-year-old baby girl. My hairline used to be 3 inches lower than it is right now. I don't need to tell you that.
Well, they keep you going, that's for sure.
Yes, they do.
Speaking of all this energy you have, what ultimately drives you and where do you find the motivation to do what it is that you're doing?
Yeah, I ask myself that every morning, especially when I look at my calendar and all the stuff I have to accomplish in any given day. But no, I think that answer is really found in two areas, and you already touched on one. I'm just drawn to the slogan, making the impossible possible, because it's only impossible until somebody does it for the very first time. Mm-hmm. If you want to get the most out of me, if you want to get me to dig deep and accomplish something that never has been done before by anybody, just tell me it can't be done and then watch me. If somebody says human beings cannot fly, I'm going to stand in the corner of a room and flap my arms as quickly as I can until I start hovering over the ground. I love a good challenge. I like to inspire and motivate people, and I want people to have the belief that they can do anything in the world that they set their mind to. I've been very blessed where I've had mentors, both personally and professionally, that didn't let objections stand in their way. They didn't let society tell them what they can or cannot do, and they accomplished great things as a result. So I want to show my clients, I want to show the people that listen to my keynote speeches that the impossible is indeed possible. But then also I'm driven by my faith. You did mention C-Suite for Christ. That's been one of the biggest blessings of my life, starting that organization. To see God's hand at work in that has been truly remarkable. And I just believe I'm not a perfect person, mind you. And you'll find that out within a few minutes. I'm a deeply flawed human being. But I was made perfectly by God. So I believe just like you, Lori, we've all been blessed with a particular set of skills, a set of skills that nobody before us has ever had, a set of skills that nobody after us will ever possess. Mm-hmm. So for us to not use those talents, those abilities, and those skill sets to the maximum, it just seems like a shame. So those two things drive me every day, and they keep me going and the motor revved up.
I love it. That's fantastic. Let's talk about the cold calling area, because I know this is an area a lot of people just despise. So what is your number one secret to cold call success?
Man, too bad we didn't have more time, because there's a lot of tips and tricks. There's a lot of secrets. And the first thing that I'll say, I will answer that question directly for sure. But the first thing that I would say is cold calling is not easy. Okay, I'm not claiming that. It is not easy. But it's a hell of a lot easier than people say it is or treat it to be. And if you just really go back to human psychology, if you just go back to the basic building blocks of relationships and selling and how you communicate with another human being, it starts to come into focus fairly quickly. And I think that's one of the things that I'm fairly good at, with all due humility, is taking this very complex problem and simplifying it into its basic components. So to answer your question directly, Lori, because it cuts at the core of what we teach, I would say the number one tip that I can give for cold calling success is it's all about value. And how I define value is something that you can offer, something that you can provide the decision maker or person of interest on the phone that taps into their self-interest and self-preservation, where they benefit first, not you. In a nutshell, most people cold call to sell something. Hi, Lori. My name is Paul Neuberger, president of the Star Group. I'd love to talk to you about your insurance needs. Right off the bat, you know that's a sales call. Mm-hmm. Right off the bat. No, I've already got a guy. Thanks. Even though my product might be better, you are already throwing the baby out with the bathwater. So rather than cold call to sell you something, what if I cold call to give you something? What if I cold call to give you a referral? Mm-hmm. What if I cold call to give you exposure? What if I cold call to give you my top 5 tips at no cost? Now, all of a sudden, it's, well, I might not want to buy from this guy, but I'd be interested in that. Sure, go on. Just getting that person to say, hey, I might be interested in that. Sure, go on. Hopefully leads to dedicated time. Hopefully it leads to the two of us having a nice conversation, realizing, hey, you're a good gal. I'm an okay guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe now, because people buy people, we can do business together. Yeah. But cold call to give something, not cold call to sell something, that is your ticket to success.
Love it. I think there's so much truth to that. And that definitely resonates to my world, the digital social media world. It's all about giving. So that's great.
Absolutely.
Paul, you've accomplished so much as an entrepreneur in your very young career. What is next for you?
Yeah, boy. Well, I mean, I look at life as a bicycle. I am pedaling as fast as I can. I am providing the horsepower to make sure that that bike can go from point A to point B. But God's got the handlebars. So I don't know what direction I'm heading in necessarily. All I know is I'm pedaling feverishly to get there as quickly as possible. But I can tell you, based on the last couple of months, Lori, what I am seeing come to fruition. So for me, and this is going to make me seem like an odd duck in case I don't already seem odd enough. I love sales. Yep. I love cold calling. Yep. But my happy place, if you were to tell me, okay, Paul, all afternoon, I'm going to transport you to your happy place. Some people might say a beach with a margarita in their hands. Other people might say the couch watching, binge watching their favorite show on Netflix. My happy place is on a stage in front of 800 people, talking for 4 hours with no prep time, just up and go. I can't explain it. I've always loved public speaking. My wife will tell you I'm enamored with the sound of my own voice. I can't explain where this came from, but I adore public speaking. So as the cold call coach for so many years, I would do a lot of public speaking, mm-hmm. working with small teams, working sure. with large groups. Well, over time, organizations would reach out to me and they would say, hey, Paul, you know, we don't cold call necessarily. We would never need you for that, but you're a pretty dynamic public speaker. What do you speak on and how can you come in and empower my team? Well, I didn't speak on anything, but I made some stuff up. Well, I can speak on leadership. I can speak on entrepreneurship. So it forced me to put some talks together. I was hired to give those talks. And now over the next 6 months, I've got 9 keynote speeches all across the country and growing daily. So it's really nice to see this come to fruition. But in terms of what's next, to answer your question, keynote speaking, motivational speaking, inspirational speaking, and bringing a message not only of hope, bringing a message of sales success, bringing a message of entrepreneurship and why that is good for a lot of people to consider and have a mentality like. I see that's where my career continues to go, and it's been a nice addition to my repertoire.
That's awesome. I love it. And I think it's fascinating that your two favorite things, sales and public speaking, are the majority of people's least favorite thing.
Right. No, you are right. And I don't know if it's because my parents dropped me on my head a lot when I was a youth or what, but if you add to it that I absolutely positively adore, and for a hobby, cold call, I'm probably one of the most unique specimens God's ever created,
Okay. All right, Paul. So the focus of this show is really all about networking, mm-hmm. which is building that relationship. Some of what you're talking about with regards to the cold call activities. But can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking story that you've had?
Boy, there's been a bunch. I would say probably when I was a financial advisor with Thrive and Financial, One of the things, and I teach this in my keynotes, I teach this in my cold call training, you have to be incredibly strategic when you sell. Cold calling is not a numbers game. It is quality over quantity. And I think you can do a lot more with a lot less if you're very strategic. Mm-hmm. So I call it ideal client identification. And at the time, I identified professional athletes as a wonderful client to go after. I mean, I'm a financial advisor. If I'm going to manage money anyway, if I'm going to protect assets anyway, I'm going to get paid a heck of a lot more if I'm managing Giannis's investments based on the kind of money that he makes. So I started going after professional athletes, but I was Joe Nobody back then. Still kind of am, I guess, if I'm really humble about it. So how am I going to penetrate the Milwaukee Bucks organization as a financial advisor who's been in this business less than a year? So I'll keep it short, but I'll just show you how my mind works. So I wanted to start getting a foothold in the organization. So I started asking myself, who within the Milwaukee Bucks wants to hear from a knucklehead like me? Who wants to get a cold call from a goofball like me? I figured, well, individual ticket salespeople probably do because they make money off a guy like me. So I called somebody in the Bucks ticket office. We had a conversation and I said, well, what happens if I want to do a group event? Would I talk to you or would I talk to somebody else? And they said, no, if you want to do a group event or buy multiple tickets, you need so-and-so. So they kicked me up the chain of command. Talking to that person, I said, well, this all sounds great. But if I'm at the Pfizer Forum, I don't want to be in a row with 15 people. That's going to be hard to network if I've got to shout all the way down to the end of the row. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, what happens if I wanted to get a suite or make it something more formal where we can network? Well, you're going to want to talk to somebody else. They kicked me even higher up the chain of command. And in talking to the suites director, I had said, you know, I'm going to bring some somebodies to this thing. I don't want to do financial advising for just anybody. I want these to be titans of business and industry. So some of these people might be good connections for the Milwaukee Bucks from a sponsorship perspective. Who would they talk to? So they kicked me up one more level higher to the VP of corporate sales. And when I was talking to her, I had said, gosh, you know what? If I'm going to get the best people possible, if I'm going to get the most bang for our buck, I got to give a draw for these people to come. Do you think it's possible that we could get at that time general manager John Hammond? Or do you think we can get a Bucks player? She said, let's see what we can do. Sure enough, we had John Hammond for two events, including one event at my office in Grafton. Wow. We had another event at the then Bradley Center where former Green Bay Packers legend Gilbert Brown was also present. And I got in front of more high quality people. That did more for my credibility than anything else. All of a sudden, here's this, again, Joe Nobody, been a financial advisor for 8 months. But look at who he knows. Look at who he's rubbing elbows with. Look at all these people he gathered together for this event. That gave me immense credibility, but all because I knew where I wanted to get to. But I knew if I picked up the phone to call John Hammond, I'd never get there right away. I had to slowly build time, slowly get endorsements, make friends every step of the way. And that led to that. And he turned out to be a really great guy. And we developed a nice friendship.
I think that's a fantastic story. And I love that you showed and illustrated your thought process in your head on how to get there. Really good story to share. Thank you so much.
Well, and Lori, if I may real quick, and you get this because you're very good at networking, but networking is like a game of pool. And if you watch these professional pool players, if you watch them on ESPN, Nine Ball, whatever the case is, yes, they're shooting at the two ball, but they're already thinking about how to line up the cue ball for the six.
Yep.
They're thinking multiple steps ahead. If you're a networker, you got to ask yourself, do I go to this event or do I not? Well, I go to this event. Well, nobody's going to be at the event that I want to talk to, maybe. But that shouldn't be a reason not to attend.
Correct.
Maybe a lower level person from the organization I want is there. Maybe an advocate, maybe a center of influence. You have to be four or five shots ahead. And if you're always thinking four or five shots ahead, you get clarity, you get strategy, you're using your time effectively. And it is amazing what you can accomplish if you're just really committed to whatever strategy that you come up with.
Yeah. That's great. I love the analogy of the pool story. I think that's fantastic and just triggered my brain. I used to love watching Nine Ball, actually. so you pulled the memory out of my head there, which is fun, obviously. So, Paul, you've walked a couple of different worlds. You obviously are wearing a lot of different hats. How do you stay in front of and nurture all these relationships and that you're creating?
It's not easy. And that would be one of the things that I would tell your listeners. Outside of the I aspire to make the impossible possible, one of my life's mottos is, if it ain't hard, it ain't worth doing. It's the hard in life that makes life good. I believe in free will. Every man or woman can make whatever decisions they want, and we shouldn't judge them for that. If somebody wants to live their life in a certain way, fine. God bless you. That's totally fine. But as it pertains to me, I seek out the hard in life. If it's easy, I want nothing to do with it. Because if it's easy for me to do, it's easy for you to do, it's easy for your millions of listeners to do. And what kind of competitive advantage are you going to give yourself if you're really, really good at something that's really, really easy? Well, I'm good at sending emails. Well, good, you and 10 million other people. Mm-hmm. I'm good at stuffing envelopes. Okay, well, you and about 100 other million people. Mm-hmm. I love what I do, Lori, because every day of my life is hard. It's hard to be the president of a large independent insurance agency. It's hard to give a keynote speech in front of 3,000 people. It's hard to talk about faith on a regular basis on a platform like LinkedIn, where you're worried about offending people or whatever else. But I love doing the things that are hard is because it carves a niche for myself. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to staying on top of this, yeah, it is hard. But again, if it ain't hard, it ain't worth doing. So the thing for me is it's really about two things, calendar and delegation.
Yep.
If I'm not on top of my calendar and delegation, I'm in big trouble. Calendar, I live by my Outlook calendar. I live by my Google calendar, and everything is on there. Even if I've got to send my friend Lori a follow-up email to talk about something we talked about 3 months ago, that's on there because otherwise I'm going to forget it. But then delegation. I'm blessed to have wonderful executive assistants at the Star Group. Very fortunate to have a wonderful team behind me at the American Heart Association. If I need to do it, I will do it. But if I can just think up the strategies, think up the ideas, make sure that we're moving things forward, but realizing I've only got so many hours in the day, I can't do it myself. I need a great team to delegate it to. Mm-hmm. Without my calendar to keep my life straight and without a great team to delegate to where I know they're going to execute, I would never, ever be where I am today.
There's so much truth to that. My calendar is my world. It's the only way. If it's not on the calendar, it's not getting done, unfortunately. So it has to get on there. And delegating is something I'm still learning, but it is important because you can't do it all. There's a lot of truth to that.
And the other thing to add to that, too, just real quick, those are all the ways I'm able to do what I can do from a professional side. But on a personal side, if I didn't have my spouse, my wife, Tanya, no way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she is the love of my life. She's my rock. She keeps my head straight. She's a stay-at-home mom to our three beautiful kids. And what I love is I get to spend my day talking to wonderful people like you, doing this awesome podcast. And I know that she got the kids off to school okay.
Yeah.
I know that she's going to do their homework with them when she comes home. That just puts my mind at ease.
Mm-hmm.
So behind every successful professional is a very strong family, be a spouse, be it parents, be it kids, whatever. And without mine, there's no way I could do all this stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. My husband is definitely my rock and support system, which is, I totally understand that and appreciate that. Okay, Paul, what advice would you offer that business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Value. I gotta keep coming back to it. I believe in life, you reap what you sow. And I believe in life, before you can get, you have to give. I mean, that's just the way that it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many individuals out there that have a me mentality, an I mentality. What's in it for me? What can I get? What can I achieve? And I think, regrettably, they use potentially good referral partners, potentially good clients, potentially good centers of influences as a means to the end.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm just going to cultivate this relationship so I can make a big sale. Well, fine, people buy people, and if that works, okay. But I think it's got to be so much more than that. I want to give to my prospects until it hurts without asking anything in return. I want to give extremely generously to my referral partners and show them that of all the people that they know, of all the people that they met, nobody gives as generously as me. Because if I can give until it hurts, if I can give insanely generously, if I can really take time before I give to understand what Lori's needs are, like I might be thinking, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to introduce you to several other sales trainers, several other professional speakers. They'll all be great guests on your show. I'm assuming I know what you want. I would much rather take some time, ask you thoughtful questions, get to know you at a deeper level, figure out what challenges you have, figure out what makes your life difficult, figure out what your goals are, and then start figuring out how I can help above and beyond the services I'm paid to provide.
Yep.
If you want to talk about insurance and group benefits, let's have that conversation now. Sure. If you want to talk about me addressing your next sales conference, awesome. I'd love to be a keynote speaker at that. But until you bring it up, I want to learn about you. I want to give ridiculously generously, ask nothing in return. And if I pick the right partner, at some point, the law of reciprocity is going to kick in.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got two lifetime partners that are just going to help grow each other's businesses.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love it. So much, so much power in giving. So, Paul, I understand a lot of what you're doing is very much in the traditional space. And obviously, the world has changed when it comes to the digital landscape. And you touched lightly on LinkedIn a little bit. But when it comes to networking, digital or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Gosh, that's like asking me to pick peanut butter or jelly. Man, talk about a tough question. Well, I mean, I know where you're going. But I would have to say both. Call that a cop-out if you want to. That's totally fine. And I would respect your opinion in that regard for sure. But I really do think it's both. Now, one of the things that I've worked really hard for over the last couple of years is cultivating my social media digital footprint, especially LinkedIn. I think LinkedIn is the greatest networking tool on earth. I think it is the greatest monetization tool ever created for a professional individual such as you and me. But so many people just scratch the surface of it. Oh, I have a cool profile picture, or yay, I got a neat banner on the background. Yeah. Well, that's 1/800th of what LinkedIn can potentially do. So what I would say, if you made me choose between these two, however, I would probably lean more towards the social strategy first, because it's a bit like online dating. Now, I hope I don't offend anybody when I say this, but if you're, and I met my wife online, so I've got a little bit of credibility in this area, okay. Match.com in 2009. The first thing you're drawn to, if you're honest with each other, is the picture. That's the first thing. Don't kid yourself. That's the first thing you're drawn to. Wow, she's attractive. Wow, he's good looking. Once you get that initial attraction, now let me read on. Now, there's got to be substance there. If I'm a Christian, hardworking person, and this gal is an atheist person who doesn't believe in hard work, this ain't going to last very long.
Yep.
But it's that initial attraction at first. And I think social media provides that initial attraction. Wow, I liked her video. Wow, I liked his post. Well, that was very thought-provoking. Let me look further into this person. And as I look further, I want to see, is there substance there? And by looking further, that means maybe I send them a quick message. Maybe we have a phone conversation. Maybe we meet in person for coffee and see if there are synergies. You cannot have a deep, meaningful relationship just on social media.
Yep.
But you can gather a lot of attention on social media. You can get a lot of good first impressions on social media, create a lot of those little sparks. But at some point, you got to meet with them, have dedicated time, and see if there's really substance there. So you need both. But for me on LinkedIn, I've got 30,000 followers. I can't make 30,000 cold calls in a day. I can't have 30,000 coffees in a day. Me, this is me now with one cup of coffee. Imagine me with 30,000 cups of coffee. Good Lord. So exactly, yes. So I think if you have a heavy social media footprint to make that favorable first impression, get a lot of attention on yourself, make them investigate you further, then you can back it up with substance. And that's when the meaningful relationships really happen.
Love it. I love it.
And do you love it?
I do. And I do believe that both are powerful. So I don't think that's a cop out. But I love the analogy of the online dating and really how that works. And that's business nowadays. I mean, it is, people look online when they have a problem, when they're trying to solve that problem. And whether it's trying to find a person or a company or whatever it is, having a strong story that's going to resonate with that individual is where that connection is going
to
start.
Yeah, here's one thing I'd ask you, Lori, not to put you on the spot necessarily, because I know that this is subjective to a certain degree. Would you believe more often than not, people buy people first or people buy companies first?
People buy people first.
No doubt in your mind.
No doubt.
And you're a successful person, so coming from you, that's a nice declarative statement. So I would agree with you on that. So one of the things that I would challenge the listeners of this podcast is just to be mindful of this. We all believe people buy people first, right? We want to work with people we like, we know, we trust. Once you get to know a person and buy a person, now you have the keys to the kingdom. Now I'll follow that person wherever he or she goes. But watch on LinkedIn how many people sell their company first, their product first, their services first. They are leading with something that people do not buy first, and they're shocked when they don't have a lot of followers. They're shocked when people don't like their posts. They're shocked when people don't go to their seminars. Why would I go to the guy's seminar? I'm just going to be sold insurance. I'm just going to be sold financial advising. So if you ever follow me on LinkedIn, and please do if the Spirit moves you to do that, watch how many posts I do about my family, about my belief system, about who I am as a person, because I'm making the bet that you're going to buy me as a person. If you don't want to, then stop wasting our time, move on.
Yep.
But if you like what you see, if I'm the kind of person you'd like to have a beer with, if I'm the kind of person that inspires you, encourages you, motivates you, that you feel comfortable being around, that you like being around, now you're more likely to follow my posts. Now we're more likely to form that deep relationship. But stop selling your company first, your product first, your services first. Start selling you first Because at the end of the day, that's what people buy.
Absolutely. I agree with everything that you said. I think that's fantastic insights to share. And hopefully some of our listeners step into that challenge that you've positioned for them. All right. So fun question here. We've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person that you'd love to connect with? And do you think you can do it within the 6 degree?
Sounds like you're giving me a challenge there, Lori. Yeah, what I say about making the impossible possible, sister. Boy, there's a number of people that I'd like to build a relationship with. I would say the first person that comes to my mind is Simon Sinek.
Okay.
And the reason I talk about Simon Sinek is I owe Simon Sinek a tremendous debt of gratitude. When I was a financial advisor just getting started in that career, and I've got a pretty impactful story about why I got into that, but we won't go into that right now. I always knew why I wanted to be a financial advisor. It was following the sudden death in my family. My father-in-law regrettably passed away from a fatal heart attack on his 60th birthday, and it just showed me that, I mean, again, it's common sense, but human life is fragile, and 1 minute we're here, next minute we're gone. Well, what happens if you don't plan in advance? What happens if you don't prepare? So I saw this YouTube video about Simon Sinek doing his why, the golden circle. That totally transformed my life. I will always be indebted to Thrive in Financial for making me watch that. I didn't want to watch it at first, but they made me, and boy, it's made all the difference. But that just, it's so clicked. And it took me a couple months to formulate my why. I knew what I wanted to do, and I knew why I was a financial advisor. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to articulate it. It's another thing to make yourself incredibly vulnerable in front of a room of total strangers. So how was I going to craft this? How was I going to say it? Well, once I started leading with that and doing that, my career totally took off. I would lead with my why at networking events. I would lead with my why in emails. I would lead with my why in cold calls. So if anybody's interested in the cold call training services, we do have an entire part of the cold call script dedicated just to your why, because I was so enamored with this concept. More than anything else in my career, leading with my why, crafting my why, honing my why has led to the success that I've had, and I build that into my training programs. You'll be one of the first to know that I've signed a book deal.
Cool.
My book is scheduled to be released in January 2020, and it would be awesome not only to say thank you to Simon Sinek, not only to have a meeting of the minds, because I've taken some of his stuff and added my own spin on him. I'd welcome his thoughts on that, but also to get him to sign off on this book. How incredible would that be? So of all the people I could name, Simon Sinek would be right at the top of that list.
Oh, that's a great story. I love that. So how are you going to start that journey to connect with him?
I've already started.
Oh, awesome. I love it.
Simon, if you're listening, I'd love to talk to you, buddy.
We're going to tag him on social media. That's for sure.
Outstanding. Good stuff.
This is great. All right. I'm going to throw the microphone at you and say, here's your chance to interview me. What is something that you would like to ask me?
Well, first of all, it's nice to be in the same room with you. I feel like I've known you for a while.
Uh-huh.
You're a big time presence on social media. You're doing a lot of good out there.
Thank you.
You've got innovative ideas. You're touching a lot of lives. So it's nice to be a guest on your program and have this conversation with you. My question, just based on what we had talked about just a moment ago, why do you do what you do? You are obviously very talented. You could probably do a lot of things and be successful at it. Why do you do this?
Yeah, my why, I'm, one, I'm a big fan of Simon Sinek as well. And actually, I teach at UW-Milwaukee, and every class, I make them watch that video. Hmm. And I think it's so important and powerful because I throw in some personal branding conversations in my lectures just to help get them prepared for the real world. But that being said, circling back a little bit, I am passionate about educating others, and I love digital and marketing. And I think this, the podcast, the business lecturing, teaching, speaking, it all kind of resonates with marketing is fascinating to me. And the more that I can teach and just educate others with the power that you can control with, you know, your message, and you can guide and influence and educate others with your expertise, I think it's just fascinating. So,
can I ask you one more?
Yeah.
Good. So that's a good answer. What is one thing, because you see a lot on social media, you deal with individuals and organizations on a regular basis. What is one thing you wished more individuals did on social media that they don't do?
Be authentic, actually. I think there's too many people trying to fake it to some extent, or when looking more at the professional stance, I would say, just being real and less businessy, here's what I'm trying to sell, but just be genuine and add value and educate and showcase that you've got something to give, as opposed to saying you should buy this from me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense to me. And I'm hardly an authority on this topic yet, but my speaking career has really taken off in the last couple of months. And I've had some people sit through my talks, ask me, hey, if I want to do what you do, how do I get started? And my number one piece of advice is pretty similar to exactly what you said. Be original. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much recycled material out there. One thing you'll notice about me on LinkedIn, I never share anybody else's posts. And that's purposeful. It's not to say there's not good content out there. Mm-hmm. It's not to say that other people aren't putting things out that I don't want my market to see. It's just I obsess about original content. I don't want to quote others. I want others to quote me. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to public speaking, I don't want to teach what John Maxwell teaches as good as he is. I don't want to teach all of Simon Sinek's stuff. I want to think outside the box, come up with my own solutions, come up with my own proprietary talks, ideas, methodologies, and then lead that. It ain't easy, mm-hmm. but back to what I said earlier, if it ain't hard, it ain't worth doing.
True.
So I agree with you. I wish more people were authentic on social media, but I also wish we saw more original ideas. It takes courage to be original. It takes going way outside your comfort zone to be original. It takes withstanding criticism and being told by a large number of people that your ideas are wrong. But you got to have that stay-tuitiveness to see it through. But if you are willing to put in the hard work, if you're willing to be true to yourself and you're willing to come up with an original idea to complicated solutions, just think about what that can do to your brand and your professional career.
Seriously. You're differentiating yourself, mm-hmm. which is what branding is all about.
So it's all about.
This is great. Paul, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Boy, well, just quickly, you only live once. And I would ask everybody who's listening to this podcast just to take 1 second and ask yourself this question. Has life up to this point been going really, really slow? Or has it been going really fast? Now, if you're like the majority of everybody else listening to this, you would probably answer life has been going really, really fast. In fact, the older we get, the faster it seems to go. Mm-hmm. I just want to remind all your listeners, you only got one shot at life. Time is fleeting. It's going by very quickly. Why live with any regrets? If you want to try something, try it. If you want to do something, do it. All it takes is you stepping outside of your comfort zone. If people don't like it, so what? Mm-hmm. If some people criticize it or look at it as odd and different, so what? What would happen if Steve Jobs would have let criticism of his idea called Apple or the personal computer or the iPod stand in his way? Mm-hmm. What would have happened if Richard Branson of Virgin Galactic let the critics and naysayers get in their way? If you want to make a change, make a change. If you want something to come to fruition, go out and do it, because you only live once. And when that moment comes, when you're on your deathbed and you're saying goodbye to your loved ones, why would you want to have all these regrets? I should have pursued this idea. I should have created this business. I should have gone out of my comfort zone. You only live once. Make it happen. And if you fall short of the mark, get back up and try it again. But don't live with regrets, because that's a terrible place to be.
I love it. I think that's fantastic advice to share. Paul, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what is the best way they can reach you?
Sure. So the best way to do that is my website, which is Paul M, as in Michael, Paul M. Neuberger. com. You could also shoot me an email at paul@paulmneuberger.com. But my website is a central repository for my upcoming speeches, my videos, the things that I'm passionate about, including the work that we do every day at the Star Group. I'd love to hear from you, love to get your ideas, and I'm never too busy to talk to somebody who's a visionary and entrepreneur and wants to make the world a better place.
Love it. We will include all of that information in our show notes. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today, Paul.
I had a blast, Lori. Humbled to be here.
Super fun conversation. This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Paul for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to see who will be on the show next. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next episode.